Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, didn't mean to yell. On behalf of our students and our teachers and our leaders, staff, I'd like to welcome you to our Canyon Ridge Christian Music Program. This is our first concert that we've had, and I appreciate your willingness to come and listen to our students. They've worked very hard, and they're very talented. Pastor Sam is going to have our opening prayer.
I invite you to stand for the opening prayer. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We thank you, Father God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world, not only to live among us, but to die for each one of us. And because of that great sacrifice, one day we will be able to sing with the angels of heaven. We will be able to play a multitude of instruments with all the universe. And we thank you again for this opportunity to come together and to share the gift of music. We ask your blessing. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Be seated. You know, New York is a very impressive city anytime. However, it's very overwhelming at Christmas time. Store windows are ablaze with light and color, toys, clothes, and much, much more. It's a fabulous display for someone who's never been to a big city. And Ursula was just such a one. She was just a sweet young girl in her early teens from Switzerland. She had come to the United States to hone in and practice her English and to be a secretary for a family in New York. She also was taking care of their grandchildren, and she was to do everything that the family asked her to do. One of the things her employers asked her to do was to keep track of the Christmas presents as they arrived. There were many, and the family would need to write thank you notes for each donor. Ursula had to write the names and the donors and what they gave. She kept faithful records. The family had been so good to her. She was very grateful for all they had done, and she wanted to give them a present too, just to show how thankful she was for their love and attention. As she looked at all the gifts as each arrived, she thought, how could I ever give them something that they need or want? They're so wealthy. It seemed to her that the family had everything, and everybody was sending such wonderful gifts to them. Besides, she only received a small allowance, and that could not compare with the expensive gifts that the family was getting. New York was very different from her home in Switzerland. It was so noisy, restless, crowded with people going here and there. Taxis tooted and traffic lights winked red and green. Ursula blinked back tears of homesickness, and yet she was careful to never show it. When she was alone in her room, she would pray, and she would ask God to show her what she could give this lovely family which had been so kind to her. Then one night, it was almost as if a voice spoke clearly to give her a secret idea. It seemed as if the voice said, it's true, there are many people who have lots in this city, much more than you do. But surely there are many who also have far less. If you'll just think about this, you may find a solution to what's troubling you. Ursula did. She thought long and hard, and finally she knew just what she was going to do. And so on her day off, she went to a great big department store. She moved slowly up and down the crowded aisles, selecting and rejecting things in her mind. At last, she bought something, and she had it wrapped in brightly colored paper. When she went out, she looked around helplessly. Oh, finally, she saw a doorman, and she went up to him. "Excuse, please," she said in her broken English. "Can you tell where I can find a poor street?" "A poor street, miss?" said the puzzled man. "Yes, a very poor street, poorest in the city." The doorman looked doubtful. "Well, you might try Harlem." But that meant nothing to her. So she thanked the man and walked along until she came to a policeman. "Please," she said, "can you direct me to a very poor street in Harlem?" The policeman looked at her sharply and shook his head. "Harlem's no place for you, miss." He blew his whistle and sent the traffic swirling by. Holding her package carefully, Ursula walked on. None of the streets looked poor to her. She stopped a woman and asked her for help to find a poor street. And the woman gave her a stare and just walked on off. It was getting darker and colder, and Ursula was getting discouraged and afraid of getting lost. She was beginning to feel foolish for thinking of such a thing. And then she heard the cheerful tinkle of a bell. On the corner was a man with a red kettle making his appeal. At once, Ursula felt better. This organization was a part of the life in Switzerland. Surely this man could tell her what she wanted to know. So she ran up to him and asked, "Can you help me? I'm looking for a baby. I have a little present for the poorest baby I can find." She held up the package with the colorful wrapping. And the man seemed like an ordinary man, but behind his steel-rimmed glasses, his eyes were kind. He looked at Ursula and stopped ringing his bell. "What sort of a present?" he asked. "A little dress for a small, poor baby. You know of one?" "Oh, yes," he said. "I know of more than one, I'm afraid." "Is it far away? Can I take a taxi?" The man told her that his relief would be there soon and he would take her to the family in his own neighborhood who needed just about everything. "Do they have a small baby?" "A very small baby." "Then," said Ursula, "I will go with you." Soon Ursula and the man were in the taxi and on their way to the poor street in New York. And while they were in the taxi, Ursula told her story to the man while the taxi driver listened in on the conversation. When they reached the destination, the taxi driver told Ursula, "Just take your time, stay as long as you want. I'll wait for you." On the sidewalk, Ursula looked up at the tall, run-down, awful-looking building. The man said, "They live on the third floor. Shall we go up?" But Ursula shook her head. "They would try to thank me, and this is not from me. You take the present, and you give it to them, please, and say it's from someone who has everything." The taxi took her back to her dwelling, and as they rode along, Ursula tried to close her eyes and imagine what it would be like when the man gave the family the package for the precious little baby. As Ursula fumbled in her purse to pay the taxi driver when they arrived at the destination, he said, "No charge, miss." "No charge?" Ursula was bewildered. "Don't worry," the driver said. "I've already been paid." He smiled and drove away. The next day was Christmas, and Ursula hurried to set the table with special care. And when the family came there, there was so much excitement and so much laughter, and soon the living room was filled with paper wrappings. Ursula thanked the family for the gifts they gave her, and when there was a lull, she explained hesitantly why there seemed to be none from her. She told about what had happened the day before, and when she finished, there was a long silence. No one seemed to trust himself to speak. "So you see," said Ursula, "I tried to do kindness in your name, and this is my Christmas present to you." It seems to me that Ursula brought the true spirit of Christmas into the lives of others by her selfless giving. That was Ursula's secret that she shared. Friends, we have a Heavenly Father who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We're told that the earth is all his and everything in it. And he's wealthier than the family with whom Ursula lived. He has given us so much more than what this family gave Ursula. And because of his great love for us, he even gave us the perfect gift. The gift of his own dear son, Jesus. Jesus had glory and splendor in heaven, and because he too loves us, he came, gave up all of that he had, and came in the form of a human, as a bright light to a dark, sinful world. He lived a perfect life and became the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We can read about what he did in Isaiah 53. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was on him. He came so that we could have an abundant life. A life of peace and joy. A life of forgiveness, grace, mercy, and reconciliation. And he daily gives us blessings as well. He rose from death and now gives us the hope of a life with him forever. We owe him so much. Like Ursula, we could give unselfishly. However, when we think about what he's done for us, we could never repay him for all he's given to us. So we might ask ourselves, what might we give God, who has everything and who has given everything? How can we show our gratitude? I'm reminded of John the Baptist, who preached repentance and the coming of the Messiah. He had a very large following. When he first saw Jesus, he knew who he was, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." He also realized and mentioned how great Jesus was. He said that Jesus was mightier than he, and he was not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. When some of Jesus' followers complained because many had stopped following John and began to follow Jesus, John 3:30 reads that John said, "Jesus must increase, but I must decrease." Isn't that what we want to give our Savior, who came to serve and not be served? So we must want him to increase and us decrease. He said that as he's lifted up, he will draw men to him. That's what Ursula wanted. She wanted people to give her thanks, not to her, but to the family who had been so kind to them. She gave the gift in their name. She wanted to decrease and have them increase. She gave unselfishly, and she wanted the family to get the praise and recognition. Jesus gave his unconditional love and generosity, and his love draws us to him. And don't we want to share that love so that others will be drawn to him too? We want to glorify and honor the one who has given us every good and every perfect gift. And still we're asking, what can we do? In Matthew 24:40, it says, Jesus said that when we do it to others, we're doing it to him. We can give to others in his name. Give gifts to others. He is the one who deserves the praise and the adoration, not us. And then when he comes again, he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us more than we could even imagine, abundant gifts of love. And we want to return to you that love and that appreciation, that adoration, by giving to others. As our students share their talents today, they are giving to those present your love for the talents for which you have given them. And we thank you for that and ask for your Holy Spirit to be here with us today so that we can bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And because, ladies and gentlemen, that we want to give God all the glory during this program, we ask that you not applaud, but prayerfully give thanks for his great love and for giving these precious students the wonderful talents that they have. There is one correction on here. Hesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, is an arrangement and plan by the students, not the class. And so I turn it over now to our elementary Spanish students.
En el mismo día señalado por la promesa divina, salieron todos los ejércitos de Jehová de la tierra de Egipto. Así también fue determinada en el concilio celestial la hora en que Cristo había de venir. Y cuando el gran reloj del tiempo marcó aquella hora, Jesús nació en Belén. On the selfsame day appointed in the divine promise, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So in heaven's council, the hour for the coming of Christ had been determined. When the great clock of time pointed to that hour, Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
En los campos donde el joven David apacentara sus rebaños, había todavía pastores que velaban. Durante las silenciosas horas de la noche hablaban del Salvador prometido y oraban por la venida del rey al trono de David. In the fields where the boy David had led his flock, shepherds were still keeping watch by night. Through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior and prayed for the coming of the king to David's throne.
Y he aquí, el ángel del Señor vino sobre ellos, y la claridad de Dios los cercó de resplandor. Tuvieron gran temor. Lucas 2:9.
And all the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. Luke 2:9.
Mas el ángel les dijo, no temáis porque os doy nuevas de gran gozo, que será para todo el pueblo. Lucas 2:10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke 2:10.
Que os ha nacido hoy en la ciudad de David, un Salvador que es Cristo el Señor. Lucas 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11.
Pero Jesús aceptó la humanidad cuando la especie se habla debilitada por 4,000 años de pecado, como cualquier hijo de Adán, excepto los efectos de la gran ley de la herencia. Mas él vino con una herencia, tal pero compartir nuestras penas y tentaciones y darnos el ejemplo de una vida sin pecado.
But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. Like every child of Adam, he accepted the results of working of the great law of heredity. He came with such heredity to share our sorrows and temptations, and to give us the example of a sinless life.
Jesus, now you're in. Thank you. While the orchestra is getting ready to play, I just want to say thank you to all the singers. That sounded wonderful, and I really love the sound of those bells. That was great, and it's neat how they have the how it's notated on these big sheets of paper you can't see up here. I just want to say this is the first time that our orchestra has played or performed together. I know you parents have heard it a lot of times, but this is our first time. So, and I want to say what a privilege it is to be able to work with them. It's been really fun. So we have two pieces. The first one, Of the Father's Love Begotten, is a piece out of the hymnal you might recognize, followed by two other pieces that are combined with that to kind of represent the joy that Mary and Elizabeth felt while when they discovered they were having John the Baptist and Jesus, followed by the manger, which is depicts Mary and Joseph and the baby in the scene there. And the second piece we're doing is, I called it a Christmas salad. It's really a medley of eight carols that I took out of the hymnal, followed by a march. So as we go through that, maybe you can see if you recognize all of those. Some of them are not as commonly used. So hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Wasn't that wonderful? I was so blessed, and I know God got the glory that he deserves. And I especially want to thank our staff and our teachers for their hard work and the students who've done such an outstanding job. We would like to invite Mr. Matthew to come forward, and we want to thank you. He has volunteered his time and his effort to arrange and compose these lovely pieces of music, and they were just outstanding. And so on behalf of the staff and students, we want to thank you for what you've done for us, and ask God to bless you.
Thank you, but it's my pleasure.
It's been wonderful. We're going to have you come back again. And our yearbook editor and advisor has asked that if there are any parents who would be willing to share photographs that you have taken today, because the students are all involved, they couldn't take their own photographs, so you'll give them to her. Nancy, will you hold your hand up so they'll know to whom they need to give the pictures? And after Pastor Sam has given our prayer, we invite you into our social hall for some refreshments and time to fellowship together. Thank you again for coming.
I think we should also say thank you to our principal, Linda Chenny, amen, for leading out in this. And we know, we all know the teachers, the parents, they do a big effort in what they do in teaching the children. But we want to thank God also for Linda's leadership this year and for bringing this beautiful, beautiful program together. What do you think if we do it on a Sabbath morning? Amen? Yes? I'm going to be talking with Pastor Jeff this weekend, see if we can get some pieces. We won't be able to get them all in, but we'll see how many we can do this coming Sabbath. But I was blessed. I was blessed. And so we can praise God for the gift that he has given these young people and for the parents who encourage them on a daily basis to practice their instruments. And it pays off. It pays off to practice. I invite you to stand as we again have a closing prayer.
Children, just stand afterwards so we'll get one picture.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of music. We thank you that today we were able to enjoy it. We thank you for the songs that were sang, for the instruments that were played, for the gift of language. You understand us. Si hablamos español, if we speak English, si nous parlons français, oder wir sprechen Deutsch, you can understand each one of us. And we thank you for being our God. And we thank you for bringing us together with our diverse talents and gifts and making us be one in Jesus Christ. Father God, we can't wait for Jesus to come back again. If we got a glimpse of heaven today, Father, I can't imagine what it might be like to just be with you every minute, every second for the rest of our lives. So again, we ask your blessing upon each family here represented. We ask your blessing as we participate of the food, and we thank you again for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and I believe they want a group picture with all of the students.